Welcome to the Grace-Based Family Podcast.
We're your hosts,
Karis Murray
and Michelle Brook. This is a podcast where we look at the power of grace in the everyday lives of families.
We're excited for you to listen in on the conversation.
Hey, Karis.
Hey, Michelle.
How are you?
I'm doing good. What are we talking about today?
Well, today we're going to talk about 6 common summer complaints and how to respond. I mean, I'm in the thick of it with 3 young elementary age school kids, so they can't drive. They're very limited on where they can go or what they can do unless mom takes them or coordinates something. So this is near and dear to my heart. How are you? Do you feel this with your girls now that they're older?
Well, I definitely remember this, mm-hmm. you know, and I think as working moms too, there's that extra added yeah. level of like, you feel like you have to have activities planned for them so you can go to work. And, mm-hmm. you know, I remember summers always being a time where I felt like not a great mom and not a great employee at the same time. I yeah. felt like I was just moderately surviving both of those things.
Right.
But now that they're older, it obviously it's less so, you know, they work, they kind of have to have their own schedule, they can drive. The biggest thing is just when my older one comes home from college over breaks and over the summer, usually like her boyfriend's, you know, comes over a lot mm-hmm. and her friends come over and they are big children now.
Yeah.
With big appetites.
Yes.
So I find that I'm going to the grocery store like 3 or 4 times as much.
It's just like a all you can eat summer buffet at the Murray home.
And I'm just like, everybody pick a cup, 1 cup for the day. Just
write your name on it.
Cup and yeah. don't take a cup out. You know,
you're still going through the same things we are.
Well, I am, but when they're older, you can just kind of be like, "Look, this is what you're going to do." And I love that I can just like leave a list. Like these mm-hmm. are the things you better have done when I come home.
Yes, absolutely. I love summer. I love the slower pace in the sense of like, not making school lunches is amazing. Not doing homework, not rushing out of the house. So I just really savor those things. But as far as like in the morning when you come out of your room and they're staring at you, they've already been up. My kids have already been up for 2 hours. I'm like, what are we going to do today? I'm like, I don't know. What are you going to do? I have no idea. We're in Arizona, so it's about the 109,000 degrees outside. Like unless you're in a pool, you can't go to parks. You can't do anything outside.
Yeah. I think people in real hot climates, I mean, ours is very hot yes. and dry, but like parts of Southern California and then through the South,
yeah.
where it's the dumbest place on earth
in the summer.
It yeah. really, really is. And you're like, what are we thinking? And yeah, the time that you would like to just sort of be able to like release your children into the wild to just like yeah. let them play and run amok. Yeah. It's just not safe to do so because yeah. the weather is so hot. So
exactly.
yeah, I know you guys have a pool going in.
Yes.
And so we can
cross our fingers that it's
done
before the triple digit temps. But I know a lot of people listening are in beautiful places in the Midwest or up in Canada and have beautiful climates. So some of our gripes and our complaints are probably unique to yeah. folks in the desert.
Well, I feel like our summer is like other people's winter.
Yes.
You know, where you're cooped up in yeah. the house. In yeah. winter, you can't go out as much. Well, here it's summer for us because mm-hmm. it's so hot.
Yeah.
So we're inside and you just kind of get a case of the grumps.
For sure. So yeah. the first, let's kick that off because that's a great point. The biggest complaint that I know my kids have most of the time is, I'm bored. I'm mm-hmm. so bored. And my mother-in-law says, that is a bad word. You're yeah. not allowed to say, I'm bored.
Yes, it's because, not a 4-letter word, but we treat it like it's yeah. one in our family because... Right? It's
five.
It's a 5-letter. It's not a 4-letter word, but we treat it
gotcha.
Like a 4-letter word.
Gotcha.
Because
it's so bad. Yeah. yeah.
That's a bad word. That's how my mom always was too. She basically was like, if you slip up and tell me you're bored, I'm going to make you not bored
yes.
anymore. And it's going to be because you'll be washing my car and you'll be doing chores. And what was always like, and I did the same thing with my girls, but what was annoying is like, I'd be like, what? Fine. You're washing the cars, you know?
Yeah.
And then they'd love it and they'd have a blast. So I was like, well, that was supposed to be a consequence.
Yeah.
But hey, whatever. They yeah. had a good time. The cars got, mm-hmm. you know, semi-cleaned because, you know.
Yeah. It's questionable.
An 8 and a 10-year-old washing the cars, especially when they're big SUVs. It's questionable the job that they do, but they try.
The bottom half's clean.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. Well, and sometimes I think it's good to tell our kids, like, sometimes I get bored too. So let's think of something we can do. And this is a great way where we can get our kids to be thinking about others. How could we serve someone? Like, let's write a note to our friends and go deliver it to them. Or let's bake something special for our neighbor. We could ask someone over who might also be bored. We have a lot of play dates in the summer. And sometimes we'll order some new games on Amazon, just cheap card games, and we'll watch on YouTube, like, how do you play Gin Rummy? You know, different things that you can teach your kids and play and show, like, okay, when you're bored, we can think of creative things to do and we can have fun.
Audiobooks got me through the summer with my kids. They're, you know,
it's a great idea.
When my girls were little, Audible didn't exist yet, so we actually like went to the library and got the CDs or the tapes. Remember tapes? And brought those home and put them on. But now, I mean, it's as easy as, you know, going online, and there's a lot of, you can do this still through the library system for free, but you can check out audiobooks for your kids. And I tell you what, because it's great to have things to do together, but it's also important for them to have independent things that they can do on their own that don't have to involve me, because you know, I love spending time with my kids. I love reading to them. I do, you know, love playing with them and hanging out with them, but sometimes it's like, you've got to do laundry, you need to do this, you need, or everybody just, it's good for the kids to, I think, learn how to self-direct a little bit. And that, you know, playing and that unstructured play and time is actually really good for their brains. And a lot of the research that's, you know, educational research and developmental research that's come out has showed how important unstructured play is for kids' development.
Yeah.
You know, and what that means is there's not an adult saying, okay, we're going to do this now and we're going to do this. Or it's not a sports team or something where it's structured. It's just kind of, you know, run a muck, throw some dirt clods against the wall, play with these sticks, you know?
Yeah. The art of strewing and that open-ended play.
Yeah. We've talked about that
before. Yeah. We're not directing. And so some of these things, like, we don't want to feel like the cruise ship director all summer. Like, today at 1, we have a dance performance in the living room. At 2:30, we'll be having make your own pizza. It's like, okay, some of that's fun, but that's also really exhausting. So I like that you brought up the point that they can, maybe in the beginning of the summer, as you're getting ready to launch into summer, have the kids make a list of things that they want to do that they would need your help with, or they could do as a family, and then things that they can do independently.
Yeah.
Whether that's create their own comic book or reorganize, you know, their junk drawer in their room, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That's probably something I more want them to do for the summer. Well, you know what I mean.
But I think it's good to have, like, those sort of goals in different categories of, like, okay, what do we want to read this summer? Mm-hmm. What do we would make, like, a films list. You know, we called it film because it seemed more fancy and like
refined.
Cultured. Like, more cultured than just like, what movies do we want to watch?
Yeah.
We would make like a films list that we were going to watch together. And then like, okay, these are some projects we want to accomplish. It is, at least for us in Arizona, when it's hot, it is a good time to kind of work on inside the house projects, like repainting a room.
Yeah.
So my girls would always usually have some kind of a project, like, I want to repaint my room this year. We're going to do the bathroom or something like that. You know, nothing that's super costly. Paint is cheap. But we always liked to kind of have those things. But yeah, it's like, also you make peace with boredom a little bit. It's like, boredom isn't going to kill you.
Exactly.
It feels painful to your brain because we're so used to being constantly entertained, and the internet and social media has made this worse. But it's kind of like, okay, just take a deep breath. The wave will pass.
Right.
And it's amazing how creative you are when you just you sit with your boredom for a little bit.
Absolutely. The second complaint that a lot of parents here is, I don't want to go there. I don't want to run errands with you there. Oh, my kids hate going to the gym, the grocery store, like pretty much anything that does not involve them, like them getting something for themselves. They just gripe about it, and they're not at the age where they stay home alone. So I have to tote them all around with me. But a good response to that is maybe giving them a special treat. hey, after we run all these errands, we're going to stop by Thrifty's and get, you know, a dollar cone, an ice cream cone. Or after this, we're going to, like, tonight's going to be fun karaoke night. Everyone gets to pick their favorite song. The person that complains the least gets to be the headliner for the evening. Right. I don't know. Just make up something fun. And again, we're not saying every time you have to buy your kids something in order for them to comply and go along. But sometimes everyone's incentivized. Like, a little motivation is good for everyone.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I am not above bribing them with a ice cream or their pick of movie for the night or whatever.
Well, and I also think that, you know, we do have to run errands together and it's a reality. So, yeah, incentivizing them. But as much as possible, use your workarounds on this, too. You know, if you can, a lot of grocery stores will do delivery and usually there's coupons for free delivery. And sometimes it's like, okay, the delivery is $6 with gas as expensive as it is. Like, it might actually just be worth it. So maybe that's something you do in the summer. You do a grocery pickup where you just kind of, you're not taking them in with you. And I always kind of had a rule when my kids were real young. Now, once they got a little older, it was like, no, we have to run a series of three errands and you're going to have to be okay with it. But I kind of had a one thing a day rule. Like, we're going to do one thing.
Yeah.
And we just sort of set our expectations low in terms of what we could accomplish in one day. Because I found that if I tried to do more than one thing. So it's like, if we're going to Bible study, we're going to Bible study and that's the thing that we're doing.
Yeah.
If we're going to the grocery store, we're going to the grocery store and that's the thing that we're doing. We're not going to go to the library and to the grocery store and to the gym and and to Home Depot. No, that's too much. And so I would save those things for evenings when my husband could be home, or weekends where it's like, okay, you have the kids for an hour, and it's amazing what you can get done in an hour
without car seats,
unloading and unloading in the car seats, and you know, in the car door handles are like the surface of the sun, and everybody's burning themselves in their seatbelts, and it's just like, you know what, I'm just gonna go out after dark and do all these things on my own.
Yeah, so, no, that's a really good point.
So use your workarounds, but if you have to, bribery is fine.
Exactly. Another complaint we hear a lot is, do we have to do chores? I mean, when you have a bunch of people cooped up in a house in the summer, and you know, usually they're at school most of the time, unless you're homeschooling, and your kids are gone and you can tidy up the house, but when they're always there, always snacking and getting tortilla chips all over the floor and taking out 300 cups. It's a lot. And so everyone does need to pitch in. But I think there's different ways you can do that to keep it fun and creative and have them bought in. I know you do like a, is it you that does like the power hour of cleaning and turns on the music?
Okay. We do a power clean. And I think now it can't be the only way you clean because it's limited in how much you can accomplish in that time. But it is amazing that if you set a timer, and we always put on some great like dance music or something that we all like, we blast it. I'm sure the neighbors can hear it down the street and they're thinking, what is it? But if you hear blasting music, if when you're going by my house, we're doing a power clean.
I love it.
And it's just like, if you can see it, I don't care if it belongs to you, put it away where it goes. There's no shoving things in closets and no like shoving stuff under the bed. It's like, put things away, hang clothes up, you know, put laundry away, pick up cups, put, you know, unload the dishwasher. So we kind of, maybe it would be helpful, I think, when your kids are little to sort of just like have a list of all the things that they could do.
Right.
And then set a timer for 30 minutes or, you know, 20 minutes. Start with short little bursts.
Yeah.
And do a few of those a day. And you actually accomplish a lot. And it's about going fast, too. So we're not doing 20 minutes of sloth cleaning. It's like, get your heart pumping. This is good exercise, dance, and get it done quick. So we would do a lot of those. And then I also just had chore lists for my kids. Like, okay. These are the three things that I expect you to accomplish each day.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
Or more things. Right. You know, it's kind of up to where your kids are and how old they are and that kind of thing.
Exactly. And I think if you have a plan going into the summer, it's easier than just letting everyone be willy-nilly. I mean, for the first few days, we don't really have a lot of structure. But then after that, it's like, okay, everyone needs to do X, Y, and Z before there's before screen time. I would definitely consider using screen time as an incentive.
Oh yeah.
Like I it's a, such a pet peeve of mine when I come out and everyone's just like vegging, watching TV and on an iPad. I'm like, oh, this is gross. You're still in your pajamas. No one's cleaning up their cereal bowl. Like, no, no, no. Let's back
everyone's
up.
Everyone's stinky.
Yes. Like, everyone has puppy breath. Yeah.
Yeah. I brush teeth.
Oh, and each the age of each of my kids is so different. So I'll put up a list on the fridge because it's just so much more helpful if it's visual. And then I don't have to remind them, hey, did you brush your teeth? Did you put your clothes in the hamper? Have you, you know, done your things, whatever, flush the toilet, all these things that the boys cannot seem to remember to do in their house. It's just a very basic, like, you know, clean up your room, do your, I usually make them do like one page of like a summer workbook, like practicing their handwriting or something. And they want to kill me, but something to keep, you know, a math page or whatever we have. And then you can, like, if I sign off on that, then yes, then you can have your screen time. You've earned it. But you can't just veg. Sorry.
Well, and I like that approach because I think a lot of parents take screen time away as a consequence, which is a thing you can do. I'm not saying that that's never appropriate, but I also like, I kind of like the idea of everybody starts with zero screen time in the morning.
Right.
You have none.
Yeah.
And you're going to earn screen time by doing the things that you need to do.
Yeah.
And you're not taking it away where you're like, okay, for the rest of the week, no screen time. Every day starts fresh.
Exactly.
You know, no matter what happened yesterday, we're starting fresh in the morning. Tomorrow is a new day. You have every opportunity to earn screen time tomorrow. You know? Right. So especially at the end of a long, kind of a bad day, it can just be like, okay, put them to bed. We love you. Tomorrow's a new day.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
And so that's when I've talked with parents, you know, who are trying to choose consequences for their kids. We kind of talk about, okay, you can take screen time away, but I actually feel it's more effective to use it as a currency of like, okay, here's what's expected of you. Make your expectations really clear. I like that you said make things visual so that there's something that they can go look at and you don't have to be constantly nagging them. And then when they hit their marks, they get some screen time.
Yep. Or, and there's different ways to earn even more screen time with, like, for us, if you read for in the summer, like, we go to the library and I have a basket of all their books right there. So it's, they don't have to go hunting for a book. They're all right there. So we have kind of a thing. We're like, okay, well, if you read for a half hour, then you can play for 15 minutes or whatever on your iPad or 20 minutes, whatever it is. You know, every family's so different, but there's just different ways to motivate them so you're not constantly frustrated and they're doing other things besides sit in front of a TV. Another complaint is, I have nothing to do. And this is where, this is a great time to say, well, that's, you know, no problem. Well, one, would you like a chore? You know, like your mom used to do or you did. And looking back, I was probably eight. No, maybe only like six. And my mom made me, she told me to wash or to iron washcloths. And she would pay me 10 cents per washcloth. So I would iron and iron. And I literally passed out one day because I locked my knees for so long and I got lightheaded and I was like, whoop, I timbered. And I was, I mean, I set the iron down luckily, but my mom was like, honey, you need to take a break from ironing. I was like, must make 10 cents. So I think I made like $2 that day and I spent hours and fainted. And and then later I've shared this before, but my mom was like, I said, geez, that was kind of dangerous. Like, I literally passed out because I was ironing for so long. And she's like, well, honey, the iron was never on. I never turned the iron on. That would have been too, like, so dangerous. You were only like in kindergarten. I'm like, what? I would did all that for nothing. She's like, well, you were saying you had nothing to do. I had to think of things to keep you busy.
That's so funny. So, well, and that's your like type A personality too, like, I am gonna earn all the money. And so if you're like, I'm gonna be the best ironer of washcloths,
like, honey, why do you think of course I didn't need my washcloth as iron, like, who does that? I'm like, I don't know, I was six. I feel so misled. But another thing, again, we always hear at Grace-Based Families are talking about, how can you be serving others and keeping your kids thinking outward, right? So if they have nothing to do, they can write a missionary. There's this great book. It's called Missionary Stories by the Millers. I just got it. It's like from like the 80s. And each little chapter talks about a real life missionary story.
Oh, wow.
And it really talks, you could have your kid read the story if they're old enough, or read it to them. They're like 2 or 3 pages, and then have them write that missionary a letter talking about their courage or whatever. We signed up for Feed My Starving Children. Mm-hmm. You know, when your kids are 5, you can do that. We finally hit that. So we're going to go do that. Again, a lot of these take the parents, but mm-hmm. ask the kid. Think about some suggestions with your siblings. If you have siblings, put them on a popsicle stick and put them in a jar, and you guys each take turns and drawing something to think of something to do, whether it's playing Yahtzee together or playing in the sprinklers. You work together. I would say,
yeah,
I had multiple kids, so you guys had playmates. Like, right. I don't want to play with you all the
I've
time.
Done,
you
done
have siblings for that
duty. Yes.
So get them to play together if they have nothing to do.
My girls used to write to, we sponsored children through Food for the Hungry.
Yeah.
And, or I know World Vision has yeah. the same kind of setup or whatever. So they would write letters to, our sponsored kids.
Yeah.
I always want to say adopted kids. We didn't adopt them.
Yes.
Sponsor them. And then they would make paper dolls for them.
Oh,
and
I
send
love
those
that.
The mail. I don't know if they ever got them. Hopefully they didn't
I'm
get
sure
confiscated.
They did.
But anyway, so we do things like that. And then I like, just like having a chore list, I also like having, I would make a list of, here's all of the just independent activities you can do, just yeah. little prompts,
yes,
you know, so that they could be like, oh, I can go read a book, mm-hmm. oh, I can listen to
crafts,
you know,
an audiobook,
I yeah. can do some crafts, I can do so, you know,
yeah,
because sometimes when you're bored, your brain just shuts off and mm-hmm. you're just like, there's nothing to do, there's no one to talk to,
yeah,
there's nowhere to go. It's like, no, that's not really true.
Yeah, go to your list.
Yeah,
or yes. consult with your siblings and come up with a play or something. I don't know.
Well, and the big thing in my house is I'm so hungry. There's no food.
Oh,
there's nothing
yeah.
to eat, regardless of how much is in the fridge or mm-hmm. the pantry. Like, there's tons of food. There's
yeah.
lots of things to eat. So I would also make a list of, like, here's some
food
fast
options.
And easy snacks.
Yeah.
Here's lunch options that mm-hmm. you can make yourself. Here's, you know, breakfast and snack options. Because, you know, especially in the summer, I'm off to work before these kids have even
yeah.
cracked an eyelid open in the morning.
And they're,
you know,
calling you.
They,
what's for breakfast?
Yeah, they hit up at the crack of 1:45 p.m., you know. And so it's just like, I'm not there to make their breakfast. I'm not there to make their lunches. I'm, you know,
mm-hmm.
you figure it out. The house is full of food.
Yeah.
And you're fully capable. And so I think it is kind of good to, you know, work with your kids, make sure that they know a couple of meals
yeah.
that they can make
mm-hmm.
and have your snacks easily accessible.
Yeah.
And then you at least have equipped them. It doesn't mean that they're not going to still
complain,
try to complain
yeah.
about it, but you can just say, well, check the list.
Yeah. And this is a great time to teach kids. Like, last year we did like a cooking challenge. So each week it was like, we're going to learn how to make quesadillas.
Yeah.
You know, for those of you who can do this, you know.
Right.
Because I don't want you every time like, can you do it? We're going to learn how to do microwavable mac
say,
and
the,
cheese.
The microwave
yes.
is great. They
it
can
is
cook
so
in the microwave.
A frozen microwavable pizza, 1:20 on these plates, not these plates, because this will start a fire. You know, but
right.
they don't
yeah.
know. And so they're going to keep leaning on you unless we train them. So. Train them to cook that
train
easy
them
mac.
To cook. It's funny. My younger daughter just got back from a trip with her high school choir to
yeah.
Nashville. And one of the places that they ate, one of the restaurants that they ate in was, and this is a brilliant business idea, I think, but it was a restaurant that served only breakfast food, but it was like a teppanyaki grill in the middle of the table, and you cooked your own eggs and your own pancakes.
No way.
Which I was like, first of all, breakfast food is the cheapest
yeah.
food. So in terms of like food costs for this restaurant, it was really low. And then they didn't even cook it for you. You cooked it for yourself.
Oh, so that's
like
so cool.
Low operating costs. But everybody thought it was so fun. And Lydia, I was like, well, how'd that go? Lydia's like, well, everyone who I was sharing a table with, I was kind of like, okay.
Teaching
like,
them how to cook?
Yeah. Like,
wow.
They had never cooked eggs
An egg.
Before.
Wow.
They didn't know that you want to wait for all the bubbles to pop on the pancake before you flip it. So she's like, I was teaching them all how to cook.
And oh, how funny.
So
that's amazing.
I was like, well, I guess I've done a couple. I've imparted a few cooking
yes.
pieces of
she
knowledge
can make
to my
eggs
kids.
And pancakes.
Eggs and
that's
pancakes
it.
And
that's
toast.
Great.
If you can make eggs and toast, you've got all three meals covered, basically.
Yes, exactly.
So
I need to look into franchise options for this.
Seriously, I was like, what a brilliant idea. But
that's so funny. You could probably speak to this next point a little bit more than me because my kids wake up so early. It's so painful. But what about the common summer complaint? I just want to sleep in.
Yeah.
Do your girls, I mean, your girls are sleeper-inners.
Well, yeah, they're sleeper-inners. And they actually were when they were younger too. Sorry to break it to you. Now, yeah. Lydia, my younger one, didn't really sleep through the night till she was like 11 until we medicated her for ADHD. And then she started sleeping like a normal person. But when she would get back to sleep at night, then she would sleep later. So I don't know. But I will tell, I mean, just so you know, like they will grow out of that. Yeah. They will start to sleep as they get older. So yeah. I promise you
one
that
day.
The crack of dawn wake up is not going to last forever.
Yes.
One day. But, you know, in terms of the schedule, I think it's good to have some sort of an agreed upon daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's really easy for the days to blend together.
Yeah.
Every day feels like a weekend. They're up late, they're sleep late. And I think it's, you have to kind of look at it from the whole family perspective of like, mm-hmm. look, we can't stay. I mean, mine are much older now and they're like on a collegiate schedule where I'm like, I feel like they never freaking go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then they go to sleep and I can't get them to wake up in the morning mm-hmm. at a normal time. And I'm just like, I don't ever see you because you're nocturnal. And then, but I remember that about being that age too. And honestly, here in Phoenix where it's so hot, we do sort of like, I know I kind of switch my schedule a little bit. Like I'm up
you're
early
later.
In the morning
mm-hmm.
and I do things in the morning and then it's like siesta during the middle of the day or I'm here at the office in the air conditioner. And then I go out and run errands after the sun goes down and we kind of have a night life that we live.
Where it cools down to 102.
Yes, it's only 102 outside. So it's nice, nice and breezy.
Balmy.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So I don't know. I mean, I honestly, I do let them sleep in.
Yeah.
And they're older, so they kind of make that choice now. But that's why I think it's good to have some structure where it's like, okay, if they're going to a VBS, this is the time they're going to have to be there. If you're a working parent and you have to take them to, you know, childcare or daycare, they're not sleeping in. But they're probably younger at that point and maybe aren't sleeper-inners.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think as long as your girls are getting up when they get up or whatever, if you say, hey, I want everyone up by 10 or whatever, or you let them sleep till 1:45 p.m., when they get up, as long as it's, they're doing what they need to do, like you said, their chores, getting it done. I don't think every now and then, I don't think that's a big deal. As long as they're going to work, holding their end of the bargain, doing what they need to do around the house. I don't know if that's a deal breaker. I remember being like 16 and it would be like Saturday morning and my mom would run the vacuum down the hall and jam it against my door. Yeah. Not intentionally, but she was
but
trying not to,
but cleaning.
She was like, and I'd be like, Mom, it's so loud. And she's like, Michelle, it's 10:45. It's time to get up. And I'm like, I'm so tired. And I didn't even stay up late, but you know, when you're a teenager, you sleep in. And I'd come out all grumps and she was like, I've been up for like 4 hours cleaning the whole house. I'm like, ugh, I'm going back to bed.
I'm going back to bed. I know. Well, I think that's just life in a family.
Need a lot
where
of sleep.
At different ages and stages, we just have to give each other grace, but within boundaries, right? To just say, like, look, here's what I expect you to accomplish in a day.
Yeah.
And if they have a job or if they have commitments, it's like, I expect you to uphold, you know, your commitments and to be on time to work and to accomplish your chores that I've set before you. And they need to be done before I'm home from work.
Right.
So watch the clock. Because if mama comes home and they're not done, heads will roll.
Exactly.
There will be some grace-based discipline that will happen.
And
some privileges will go away. But I think, honestly, as long as everybody knows expectations, I don't care about them sleeping in.
Yeah.
It's not a thing that bothers me.
Yeah. And
but
I long less, for that day, so I can't
Yeah,
speak.
You're longing for the day that they'll
personally
they're not up
that.
At 5 a.m.
Yes,
all
yes.
This, and our sun comes out here at like 4:15 in the morning.
I know.
In the summer, so.
Yeah, it's insane. The last summer complaint that we wanted to talk about was, can I just go hang out with my friends? So my older son is at the end of fourth grade and he is now getting in this phase where he every day, can I have a friend over? Can I go to a friend's house? Well, first of all, I'm like trying to teach him, you can't invite yourself over. You can't just say, can I come over? Now, some people we have that relationship with, but still, I'm like, you don't do that. You wait to be invited or you invite someone over. But sometimes I think having a friend over makes it easier.
Yeah.
On the parent, depending on what age they are, because they kind of entertain each other. So
yeah,
we've always just kind of left some space and some room, not all the time where people are popping in and out, but just some extra budget or whatever that, like, hey, Friday, we're going to have everyone over, extra pizza, the nice sodas, all the fun stuff.
Because the name brand the soda? Not
the generic. Oh my goodness. That is a good tip that I have from a friend who has adults. She's like, don't buy the generic chips and soda. If you want the kids to come, it needs to be name brand. So
yeah,
just to be that kind of place to hang out, because if you have all the good food, the kids will come. As you know, you're always cooking.
Yeah, that, I mean, once they get to kind of the junior high school age, I wanted our home to be the home that everybody wanted to come to. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, it's almost gotten a little out of hand because my daughter comes home from college, you know, over a weekend, and she's like, hey, can I have a couple friends stay with us this weekend? And I'm like, okay. And it was 8.
Oh my gosh.
It was 8 bodies all students.
And they stay up, like you said, till
they stay up
3 in the morning.
They, you know, have voices and laughs that are loud. And,
yeah.
You know, our house isn't that big and it's kind of open concept. So if, yeah.
You hear the stamping feet. Yeah. Like, I'm like, why do you have to pound so hard when you walk?
Why are we clomping through? Mm-hmm. But I'm happy to do it because I'm glad that they feel comfortable coming to our house, that my girls want to have people over. Mm-hmm. And it is great, the relationships that you form with your kids' friends, too. You can actually be a person who can just kind of be a loving, safe, kind person who can show them the love of God. And so that's been really, really good. And I like having things at my house because I can sort of quietly keep an eye on everyone. Yeah. I don't have to worry where they are. Right. We do put some limits on sleepovers. Like when my girls were younger over the summer, it's like we can't have sleepovers every night.
We don't do back-to-back because then everyone gets grumpy.
Yeah.
We can't have like, can I stay at his house tonight? And then he comes here and stays here, or a different friend. It's like, no, we're going to take a break. So it's okay to have boundaries. We're not saying have friends over 24/7 and kids sleeping in the living room every night. 8 bodies to
tripes
over. But
we used all of our camping gear. That's what we did. We set up all of our cots, all of our air mattresses.
It's like a hostel. Like,
it was like a youth hostel, running a youth hostel. I got up early and made lots and lots of pancakes. And
it's fun.
So we
get through those long summers.
Summer days.
You know, in summary, we just really want it to be a sweet time. You know, the difference between my kids and your kids is probably 8 years, and look at how much it shifts. So I don't want to spend the summer being a grump about it, being like, oh, every day this is so boring, when are you going to go back to school? You know, I just have to keep my own heart and my own mind in check, because I know that these years are going to go by fast, and then soon they're going to be gone off to college or off, you know, wherever. So finding ways for your kids to be involved and have a say in the process for their summer plans can really help keep some of the complaints at bay. But ask other friends for ideas. Listen to your kids. They're fun. They probably have a lot of good ideas, way more than we would have.
Yeah.
But just want to encourage everyone, have a really fun summer with your kids and try to keep those complaints at bay.
Yes. Well, and it's always better to have a plan in advance so you know how to handle things and you don't feel overwhelmed. Enjoy your summer. Enjoy those kids. The first 9 years feels like it takes a long time, and that second 9 years goes like a blink.
Yeah.
And And you will want them to come home and hang out with you when they're older. So,
yes.
So anyway, well, thank you so much for listening. If we can pray for you, or if you've got comments or questions, you can email us at family@gracebasedfamilies.com. And there's lots of great free resources on our website, gracebasedfamilies.com. And lots of ways that you can learn more about growing your relationships with your kids and with your spouse. And so we would love to help you in all of those ways.
Thank you for listening to the Grace-Based Families podcast. This is part of Grace-Based Families Ministry.
For more resources, check us out on gracebasedfamilies.com/podcast or stream us on all major podcasting platforms.
Once again, this is Karis
and Michelle.
Until next time.